Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Oh my goodness, the happiness continues. Happy go lucky. Feels like the second month of a brand new relationship. You know, those googly eyes, and you still get the car door for it. Do you young chaps do that? Do you get the door, or is that just not cool anymore? I know chivalry left years and years and years ago, but I see it when I, well, that'd be a lie, because I don't go to stores. But I notice that doors are not left open the way that gentlemen used to do way back when for the ladies. But what about early on in the relationship? Are you still getting the car door? Are you still getting the truck door? Kind of feels that way here tonight. All of the attention now and the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars has been put on the shoulders of Sergeant Baalke, who will make that pick tomorrow night, and the excitement continues. I got to tell you right now, I think he's going to knock it out of the yard. I'm Team Baalke 2024 with this year's draft class. I believe that. I've been checking the records. I've been checking the facts, checking it once, checking it twice, right? Baalke's done a nice job in the first round. Harrison last year. Well, Blue, the only reason why I got Harrison is because of Cam. You know, Cam cheated. Cam got caught. We didn't care that you did it, Cam. We just cared that you got caught. Right? I mean, that really applies to almost anything except for taxes. Mm-mm. You want to cheat on your diet? Fine. You want to cheat on your spouse? Fine. Cheat on your taxes? You get the IRS after you? Good luck finding your way out of that. But there's some driver right now saying, Blue, stop it. The only reason why he went out and got Anton Harrison is because Cam got popped for four games. Trayvon Walker, he's on the come. He is. He played better football later in the year. My goodness, Ryan Nielsen taking over. Talk of 4-3, moving him around a little bit. Could they actually, maybe, possibly play Trayvon Walker at his best position? What is his best position? He played three different ones while at Georgia. Kind of remarkable. He wasn't even first-team All-SEC, yet he was the top pick in the National Football League draft. Devin Lloyd, a late bloomer, right? Came to us as a rookie at 24. Better last year. Still, there's a little something going on that we're trying to figure out, right? He, along with Luke Fortner, took advantage of the COVID rules. They came here older than the normal NFL rookie. I haven't given up on Devin Lloyd. I think out of the picks that we look at, that would probably be considered the worst, but that was the 27th pick that round. Of course, Walker was number one. Trevor Lawrence, my goodness. Just give him some time, people. Give it some time. You know, I won't go Nick Foles on you and take you through your trials and tribulations with this particular fan base and the patience that you have displayed in three decades. But I think most of us all of a sudden believe the light's going to go on for Trevor. I'll tell you right now, this is what, the 24th day of April 2024? I listen to you. When I'm not talking, I'm listening. I'm reading, okay? And every single show, I get more and more and more. I'll tell you right now, flat out, the opinion has changed for the positive on Trevor Lawrence here towards the end of April than it was after the season-ending game, week 18, contest number 17. In a period of 3 months, we've noticed that. Think about what it's going to be like come July when things crank up again over at the Miller Electric Center. Then, of course, Travis Etienne, you know, will they pick up his fifth-year option along with Trevor Lawrence if they don't get a contract extension done with Trevor? I don't think anyone out there would give Etienne one just because running backs are not valued, although we did see a couple of fifth years get picked up today, including Jamar Chase, who will now make $21.82 is the final mark there. $21,820,000. Man, just give me the $820. I'll never complain. Give me the 820. Hell, give it to me over 2 years. You'll never hear me complain. We're going to give you 21 mil on top of that. And, you know, he's going to hold out. He's going to be frustrated. So I'm telling you right now, I think that Bulky's got a real opportunity here to make the right moves beginning tomorrow night. And we all get it. We all understand it. It has to produce players this year. Last year's class did not, outside of Harrison. And you could sprinkle in a little bit, you know, some Parker Washington stuff. You can sprinkle around some Antonio Johnson stuff. But it didn't work with Strange, Bigsby, Miller, Lacey, Abdullah. It didn't. Not to say it won't work in year two for either one of those players. And honestly speaking, let's say you can get solid contributions out of, let's say, two and a half of those players. Strange, Bigsby, Miller, Lacey. I don't even know if I should. Can I put Abdul on that list? I mean, the guy's undersized. You know, he looked like he had one move as a pass rusher. That was a colossal failure. But we will see. If you can get like 2.5 out of the combination of Strange, Bigsby, Miller, and Lacey, and Lacey's the one who, it just kind of feels like, unless they really do something of significance beginning tomorrow night, Lacey's really got a big-time opportunity. He's kind of buried. We all talk about Tank, and you've heard my comments. I think he's really going to show up in year two. I just think he's too talented. Yeah, there appears to be a heady issue there. You know, is he into it? Someone wake up Tank, right? Is he focused? Is he into, you know, and that was it. You talk about a Buckner, right? You talk about a Chris Webber. Whether it's a ball, bouncing ball up the first baseline, it gets between the legs of Buckner or Webber. Webber called a timeout and didn't have a timeout. And how the hell does Tank? How do you go out of bounds against Bama, man? All you can do is hit the dirt. All you do is a Parker Washington right around the goal line last year as a rookie who did not get out of bounds. You do the exact opposite. You win an Iron Bowl. That's unfortunately going to hang over his head for the rest of his days, but I still think he's going to be a good football player. I do. All right. It's an absolute honor to have you with us right here on a Wednesday edition, our final show before the NFL draft. I'm already geeked for tomorrow night, but that's so far away. And I'm not one of those who will say, I can't wait for it. Absolutely, I can. Yeah, I'm fired up about tonight, but tomorrow is just spectacular. It's such a great day. And, you know, I do. This is what dreams are made of. Right? This should be the start of 32 teams thinking, all right, we got a chance. We're headed towards the Super Bowl. That's what you get in late April if you really make a big splash in the NFL draft. We're going to talk about that with Tom McManus. He's 20 minutes away. John Osher in 50 minutes. Also to Las Vegas. A lot of interest now. This is building year by year by year. The ability to bet on the NFL draft, okay? I mean, you can bet on basically whatever it is that you want nowadays. We'll check in with Rafael Esparza. Of course, he's with MyBookie and MyBookie.org. 20 years ago today, kids, the Manning family stood up. It remains, in my opinion, the biggest cover-up in the history of the NFL. This had politics. This had Washington, D.C. written all over it. Of course, we're talking about San Diego drafting Eli Manning, but he refused to go there. Archie stood up. You know, Archie's like, there's no way the first family of the NFL, there's no way that my son will play in San Diego. There's no way with that crepid stadium, he ain't going there. So you made the move for Phillip Rivers. Just imagine for 1 second, and I know I'm going to get back to Jaguar talk. But just imagine for one moment, 20 years to the day, if word began to circle that Caleb Williams refused to go to Chicago. Think about that. Think about what the media and the frenzy and the criticism and the commentary, just think of the shots that Caleb Williams and his people would take if they did what Archie Manning and the Manning family did 20 years ago. Again, I think it's the biggest cover-up historically speaking, that we've ever seen. And I remember John Elway in Baltimore. I remember Bo Jackson in Tampa and things along those lines. But this was, who was it? Was it Taylor Swift who won, what is it, an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar? And it was Kanye West, right? Who went out and said, no, 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 no. You don't deserve this award. It should go to, was it Beyonce? Do we remember?
It was.
That's what Archie Manning did. I think it was Paul Tagliabue 20 years ago, right? It wasn't Roger Goodell. He stood right up and said, there's no way that my kid is going to San Diego. It's awful. And it was so covered up. What, I mean, it was almost like if you were a very well-established member of the national media, you were not allowed to critique this move. There's only been a couple of times in my life where I've been told you're not allowed to ask something. One of them was with my next guest, Tom McManus. We were out doing a live remote, and the mayor at the time, Alvin Brown, his handler, you can't ask him about the Jaguars. I'm like, what the hell am I going to have him on a freaking show for if I can't ask him about the Jaguars? What do you want me to ask him about? Construction? What do you want me to ask him about? The homeless? Of course I want to ask him about the Jaguars. At that time, that's all people wanted to know. Are they going to London? Is this happening? Is that? I mean, you can't ask him about the Jaguars. What do you mean you can't ask him about? That was like the only, and I said, so you know what, Tommy? You got it. I'll sit this one out. Can't ask Alvin Brown about the Jaguars. Isn't that great when people try to tell you what you can do and what you can? That's what the NFL, that's what the Manning family did to the NFL 20 years ago. And today, not even a peep. My guess, the majority of you, I'm going to say more than 90% of you, aren't even aware that this happened 20 years ago because you probably haven't seen it anywhere. You probably haven't read it anywhere. It's the biggest buried story in the history of the NFL, almost comparable to Michael Jordan's two-year exodus that obviously really smelled of gambling. All right, so we have that coming up. As always, your commentary on the text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Great stuff last night on toupees. And, you know, we're a supporter of that. We're not a ripper of that. We are on Into the Night. We are all about trying to help you out the most that we can. And if you have a new resodded dome, okay, and it's helping you with the ladies, here's to you. But we did find something out that was, I think, very intriguing last night. It's actually not about the hair. It's about the confidence in the human being once you get the hair. Okay? So just remember that. Ladies look for a lot of different things in a guy. Let's start with the most important thing, money. If you have it, you got a better shot than everyone else, right? If you look good, sure. But if you have some confidence, you smile, you make people laugh. And if you need hair, whether it's real or fake, to aid your self-confidence, go for it. Again, I'm still looking. I said I would totally redo my dome. I would totally resod it if I could get someone to come on here, but you're going to have to pay me some pretty pennies. Yeah, I'm not doing it for 10 grand. I'm not doing it for 20 grand. I don't need it. I'm not that vain, okay? I've never had a problem with chicks, all right? I don't need it, but you may. And again, I don't think it'll end up being about the hairs. I think it'll end up being more about your overall self-confidence. One note before we get back to the NFL. I got an email today from the Heisman individuals. The Heisman, I think it's the Heisman Trust is what they actually do call it. The Heisman Trophy Trust let me know today, as a longtime voter of the Heisman, all right, that Reggie Bush gets back his trophy, okay? I've never been a fan of taking something away. I mentioned Chris Webber earlier, the whole Ed Martin deal at Michigan, they took down the banners, right? John Calipari was at UMass, he had Lou Rowe, he had Marcus Camp, they took down the banners. They took away wins from Joe Pa. They took away wins from Bobby Bowden. They took away wins from Jim Boeheim. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't erase the moment. It doesn't erase what you were going through as a fan during that time. You can go back and take away any of that, but it just, it doesn't matter. Those Michigan fans, that's never going to get away from you, living in that moment. Same out in the zoo in Amherst, Massachusetts, or Syracuse, or Penn State, or Florida State, or anywhere else for that matter. I've never been a big fan of going back and taking things away. But what I found just so incredibly asinine today was, and I didn't read the article, I just saw the headline, and it was Paul Feinbaum talking about Reggie Bush and the return Heisman. And Feinbaum apparently came out today on his show and said, amateurism is dead. As like, this was breaking. Is he's supposed to be like one of the most coveted college football mouthpieces in the United States of America. Is he not aware of what has been going on with the NIL and the transfer portal to come out and use Reggie Bush as his example to tell us that amateur play in collegiate sports is now officially done? Come on, Paul. You're better than that. I mean, what was it that the teacher said? No question is a bad question. Myself included, sometimes we say things that are just so ridiculously stupid, right? Right there, Feinbaum. Congratulations, man. That may be the best one for the year 2024. And here we are only in the latter part of April. All right, big news today all across the NFL. My goodness, Detroit. Should we just put them in the Super Bowl right now? All right, Dan Campbell, much better than I thought. I remember laughing at him with the kneecap comments and, you know, Jared Goff, who I think is probably, if not the most underrated quarterback, maybe the second most underrated quarterback in the NFL. Never gets the love, never gets the respect. But today, Amon Ross St. Brown, you know, $120 million over 4 years, $77 guaranteed for St. Brown. Highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Penei Sewell, right tackle, 4 years, $112 million, $85 million guaranteed. Highest paid right tackle in the NFL. This is great. And this is what winning organizations want to be able to do. You hope you're in a similar situation in 3 years with Anton Harrison, that he's breaking the bank and he's becoming the highest paid right tackle in pro football. Why? It means he's really, really good. I wish I could put a wide receiver into that category. In 3 years, I don't think that'll be the case with anyone who right now is on the roster, but that could be the 17th pick in the first round for Jacksonville tomorrow night. Josh Allen got done. Congratulations. One of your own. Re-signed him. I still think it's important, not as important as it once was, but I still think it's important because, and again, I don't want to get off on a tangent about this, but it's crystal clear. It's more about the individual today than it is the team. Tommy McManus 10 minutes away. That was a team. That was a team in 96, right? Today is not really, and I'm not pointing just at the Jags. I'm talking about sports in general. It's more about the individual. But I used to think, you got to draft well. You got to fill in holes with free agency. But it's also very important for the way that the momentum of the franchise is moving by re-signing your own players. And now they've done it. What, last couple of years, they did it with Devon Hamilton. They did it with Cam a couple of times. Yeah, they threw some tags on him. They brought back Daniel Thomas. Right? That was a great day here in Duval, and now it's Trevor Lawrence, where it appears it's going to be sooner or later. So I want to look at Detroit and kind of use that at least somewhat as a blueprint as to what hopefully the Jaguars are going to be able to do, not only this offseason, but for years and years to come. That's a pleasant problem if you are struggling to figure out which players you need to re-sign. Look how many players that Belichick had to move because they couldn't afford them. Look at Pittsburgh. Look at the Rooneys, including Leon Searcy, including Carnell Lake. I can sit here and name about 25 Pittsburgh Steelers who They just couldn't afford it. Seattle, great teams are put in this, and Seattle was very good in that era, particularly defensively, right? Year after year after year, that's what it comes down to, being able to do it to that magnitude, finding ways to keep your own guys in the building. All right, opening comments tonight brought to you by Schmunez Vision. There's a franchise player right there, a franchise organization. Absolutely love them, swear by them. That's why they're part of my opening comments each and every night. For all I know, where I could be right now, what could be going on with my right eye right now. If I didn't go in there 8.5 years ago and Dr. Neil Schmunez was like, brother, we got problems. You need surgery tomorrow. That's part of what they're all about. All right? High-quality medical, surgical, eye care. So many other things that would interest you. Certainly, prescription updates, contacts, glasses. But what about laser eye surgery? I wish I was a candidate. Because of that surgery, I wasn't. Okay, I have to take out the contacts before I go to bed each and every morning. Notice I didn't say night. I like to stay up very, very early into the morning reading. But I do. I have to roll out of the rack and take out the contacts. And I'm not eligible for them. You may be. Just imagine the rest of your life never having to worry about your eyesight, day or night, nearsighted, farsighted, because you have laser eye surgery. All part of what they offer up over there at Schmunez Vision. Check them out on Instagram as well. Just go to Schmunez Vision Care. You can see. All right, really excited about tonight's program. I am. This is a phenomenal time of year. Duval is the place to be. Tom McManus, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side. Let's talk with the former linebacker, John Osher, coming up at 7 o'clock. If you're handicapping this year's draft, we'll do that later in the program as well. Rafael Esparza will join us from Las Vegas from MyBookie in MyBookie.com. The best way to get a hold of us is on the text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. You can also get me on Twitter and or X. That's Ballou1010XL. JJ LaSelva and Rick Ballou. This is Into the Night. Ooh, that was a little bit of feedback, wasn't it? Apologize about that. Good time for me to tell you right now what's going on at the Blue Crab Crab House. How about $1 oysters tonight till 9:30? Always happening at the Blue Crab Crab House. Check it out right off of San Jose on Joynton Creek Road. Let's bring in Tommy McManus, former Jaguars linebacker, joins Rick Ballou. What do you say, Tommy Mac?
Rick, how you doing, buddy? Great to be on with you, man.
Yeah, it's good to talk with you. Yeah, everything is really good. I'm really excited here. I love the draft. I it's so much better than the top pick, or you're coming off an awful year. Even though this was disappointing, losing 5 out of 6, it's still a much better starting point with 9 wins. And with some right moves here beginning tomorrow night, you can certainly make the case that this is a playoff team, possibly even deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, you think a year ago, right? They re-signed everybody. They had to grab Anton, which ended up being a great pick, got a need, and this year's a little bit different. I think Trent Baalke and company, they've done a good job setting themselves up for the draft and who they brought in via free agency with Mitch Morse, with Eric Armstead, Darby, Duvernay, of course, Gabe. I mean, you're talking about adding some real talent from teams that, look, they've been winning programs and those guys have been very successful. So hopefully that transcends into the locker room and onto the field for our 2024. Now you're in a position, Rick, as you know, to maybe not have to press, not have to go after needs so much. Of course, you got to balance that value and need, but I think they're in a good spot at number 7.
Yeah, I do as well. And I really enjoy what you said on your recent podcast about how you think Trevor has the weapons, he needs more protection. I've spent the last 3 years really yelling about a better offensive line. When you played, and I say it all the time, I loved learning about the NFL and covering that group beginning in the mid-90s. But to me, it always began with that offensive line. They weren't running into the training table. They were there to talk to the media every day. And I really want Duval to get back to having a dominant presence on that offensive line. It's been lacking around here for a very long period of time.
Yeah, you think about it too. I mean, that they're the tone setters. You know, we did have a great line, but think even back to like 2007 when they had Meester and Naoli and Manawai and Mo Williams and I forget the right tackle, but he was a big player as well. They had very formidable offensive lines. It's transcending. I mean, it's like having an older brother that's a badass. You know, like you got nothing to worry about when you got an offensive line that kicks everybody's ass. You're like going into the game like, here's my backup. What's yours, right? Because I know what mine is, and they're coming to battle, and they can handle just about anybody. So that confidence, and then it goes into the D line because they want to match it, right? They want to be like, well, hey, we're just like them. We're animals too. We want to make our presence felt as well. So it does. It can transcend throughout the entire team and give you that real solid, genuine swag that I think every team needs, including our hometown Jags.
Former Jaguar linebacker Tom McManus joining Rick Ballew right here on your home of the Jags. 1010 on the AM, 92.5 FM. All right, with that said, Tom, what do you think the Jaguars should do tomorrow night at 17? And what do you believe they will end up doing tomorrow night at 17? Two different questions there.
Question. I mean, look, you know what I feel. I want an O-lineman. It really depends who's there, I guess. You know, you see all these mocks, and I don't make my own mock. I don't study tape. I look at a little bit here and there. I do my homework, you know, via just doing some research and whatnot. I love looking at mock drafts. You see mock drafts. I saw a mock draft this morning where all the, like, top six tackles are gone.
Wow.
Like, everybody's gone, and you're sitting there going, okay, maybe Mims out of Georgia you throw in there. Maybe Barton if you really move back later in the, you know, the first round. But I keep seeing corner. I know what Ryan Nielsen said, right? Corner is kind of his center of how they play defense. Well, look, think about it this way. Like, jamming a wide receiver as opposed to putting pressure on a QB. Like, what really affects the timing more? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say they're pretty close, don't get me wrong. But to me, it's being able to really affect that quarterback, really make him get off his mark, off the timing. Yes, jamming. Yes, getting them off their route. That goes in. It goes hand in hand. So I keep seeing corner. I'm going to be happy with whoever. I think they're in a good position where they don't have to press. You know, would I love an O-lineman? Yes, I would. The kid from Washington. I love the kid from Oregon State. He's an absolute animal. And Mims, if he can stay healthy, which he's battled, I think he's got the wherewithal to be a solid right tackle too. So I don't know, man. I think I would go O-line. I feel like if one of the corners are there, I think they're going to go corner.
No team is perfect. You know what I mean, Tommy? I mean, look at the Super Bowl. Look at a couple of years ago with Burrow getting to the Super Bowl. They totally redid the offensive line after. Last year, Kansas City, including Juwan Taylor, tried to build up that offensive line. The way I look at it is this. What the month of April has taught me is it feels like the Trevor Lawrence extension is coming sooner than later. Frankly, I'd wait a year, make him play it out, but it feels like it's coming. So if it is, and he had five injuries a year ago and you couldn't run the ball, why not work specifically on your offense first and then get to your defense? Build up this offense the best way that you can to protect your franchise QB. And if it comes down to it, maybe you got to win games on Sunday, you know, 34-31.
That kid got hit way too much last year. And I'm not just talking the injuries, okay? Those are significant, especially from the ankle on. The knee, he bounced back from. He played some really good football after the knee. And I'm sure it bothered him, but he really did play. The ankle really, really messed things up. Those next three games, he just had a tough time. But look, you know, you lose confidence when you're getting hit all the time. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to my first read, and when I go to my second, I got pressure, whether I'm getting hit or I got someone in my face or I got to make a move. You know, I got to get out of the pocket. I got to make something happen. Then I start losing, you know, confidence in my offensive line. And then, you know, the receiver's dropping balls or running wrong routes. I'm a little off. It just compounds into a big problem. Here's what I want. I want Trevor Lawrence to feel he's still going to get hit, right? This is the NFL. But I want him to feel so confident in his offensive line that he can stand there and go from one to number two to maybe number three if he has to on a consistent basis, right? We know he can make that one read and make that throw. He does it. Now, he's got to be more consistent with it, but he's got the tools to make it. But he, but to get to number two and number three, he's got to believe and trust that offensive line where he'll never fully confidently go to that number two because he knows something's coming. And look, we're all human. Go get punched in the face 10 times. Tell me how you feel, you know, when number 11 comes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After a while, you gotta you know, figure it out, protect yourself. So I hope they go O-line. Look, think about 2 years ago, Rick. He didn't have a big number one. Now, Kirk played outside a lot and did a great job, but what did they have? They had a very good offensive line. Their running attack was very good. ETN averaged like 5.1 yards a carry. He spread the ball out. The tight end was big. I mean, it, you know, they all had – Zay had a good year. Kirk had a good year, and they got it done. And Trevor had a really good year. Think about that. I think last year, and I know the stats might not back this up, but I felt like he went like he had to go to Ridley.
Yeah.
Like he had to try to make that throw. Now, granted, they connect 50% more of the time. We're happy, and Ridley's probably still here, for, to be honest with you. If he caught half and Trevor put in the right spot every single time and whatnot. But I don't know. I don't think in Doug's offense you need that burning number one. I mean, everybody wants it. Why? Because it keeps the safety honest, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, last
– the safety's got to be over the top. So that takes the guy out of your defense. So I understand that. But in Doug's offense, I don't know. They were really good 2 years ago. Last year, they – even when they were 8-3, they were struggling as an offense. Terrible on third down. Terrible on third down all year long.
Really bad on third down. And again, I think, you know, the biggest difference, arguably the biggest difference between 2022 and 2023 was the fact that they did not get injured in 2022. I mean, you lost Ben Barch and you lost Shaq Griffin. You lost Cam Late. Look at all the injuries 1 year ago. Last question for you, Tom. You and I in agreement with an offensive lineman. You mentioned receiver and corner. That seems to be what most think. At 17 tomorrow night, is there anything that Bulky could do that would surprise you, whether it's a trade, moving up, moving down, a position? Is there something that could maybe throw you off tomorrow night?
Moving up into the top 10, I'd be like, all right, let's rock and roll, Uchikoo. I'm ready for the rumble, you know, like, this is awesome. Wondering, I'm sure he's going to go after wide to shoot if that happens. But yeah, that would, because that does, I don't feel like that's what he's going to do. I really don't. I think he's going to either sit or see what happens. Look, you know there's going to be a runoff on a position. It might be tackle. They all may be gone. You know, the top six may be gone. It may be wide receiver, you know, but it could be that offensive line. And then next thing you know, you're sitting there going, okay, I don't have the guy I really want. Then what do I do? Well, maybe somebody wants to move up like last year, and you get a guy that you still like, and he can help your team right away. By the way, the injuries just for the look. Injuries happen to everybody. I know the effect. But if the execution was better last year, the attitude was better last year, we would have been able to handle the injuries and still made it to the playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting, no doubt about it. Tommy Mack, always a lot of fun, brother. Take care. Have a great night.
All right, Rick. Thanks so much, man. You have a great night. Same to your list.
There he goes, Tom McManus, former Jaguars linebacker, dropping a Rick Derringer quote on us with rock and roll Uchikoo. So interesting. You said attitude. Love it. Love it. And see, it's, I love players' mentality. And in a lot of cases, coaches had a mentality. Injuries equal what? Injuries equal excuses. Now, some are valid, right? I mean, I'll swear to the heavens, when Jordan Travis went down, that's it. Season over. But Doug Peterson watched Carson Wentz go down, and he won with Nick Foles. Yet the same Doug Peterson, at his season-ending press conference, made it a point to say, I'm not making an excuse. But there was only, a couple of games all year where you actually had Cam, Ezra, Luke, Brandon, and Anton. And whether it is an excuse, sounds like an excuse, or he covered it up by saying, I know it sounds like an excuse, but here's the truth. It's really interesting how that works. I think those who never played the game, I'm always quick to bring up injuries. I don't care. I mean, to me, it's a huge part of it. But if you play the game, in the case of Peterson, yeah, he's a coach. He also played the game. He's a former quarterback, college quarterback, and longtime pro quarterback, mainly as a backup, but he played the game. I think that's interesting how that dimension does change between those who actually played the game and those who did not play the game. As a matter of fact, I want to say today, J.J. LaSalva, I've read three Howard Cosell books in my life, including Howard Cosell, Never Played the Game. I want to say Cosell died today in like 1995? Maybe you could find that for us, the great Howard Cosell. It was either today or yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday, 1995.
1995. How old was Howard?
77.
Man. That's what's great about YouTube. Going back and watching old games. Like Reggie's, are you really doing this, Blue? Reggie Jackson's three homers against the Dodgers. And like Keith Jackson's trying to say, there's a line drive to right. And Cosell's like, it's out of here. He like jumps all over the play-by-play guy. They had three in the booth. Trying to remember the third. Was it Tony Kubek who was in the booth? Or I don't know. But Howard Cosell was just, I mean, I guess there's like maybe today would be what? Stephen A., Skip Bayless. Although I think in the case of Bayless, that's more of a sellout, right? And I don't blame him. I mean, he's getting paid millions and millions and millions to sell out. I honestly do believe for the most part what Stephen A. Smith does say he means. But let me tell you something right now. Howard Cosell, and tell it like it is, regardless of what was happening. Football, baseball, boxing. That may have been Cosell's best, was boxing. But anyway, you want to comment on that? We'd love to hear from you. Let's see. We got about 15 minutes until John Osher from Jaguars.com is going to join me. Much more draft analysis coming up from Johnny O. Good time for you to get on in right now. Here's one. I don't know if I want to throw him under the bus because I like him personally. And I just don't think I'll do that. Where's the one I wanted to bring up here? Okay, here we go. This is for the first time ever. I'm going to tease a statement made by a listener. And then respond to it on the other side, okay? The 0180 says, Baloo, Balky is going to shock the world. What are you going to think about him when he trades Trevor to move up in the draft? Save my commentary on the other side. If you want to join the 0180 or anyone else out there listening, whether it's Tommy McManus's opinion, whether it's anything that you have on the Jaguars draft, the best way to get on in is on our text line. That's 641-1010. It's brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Thank you to Tom McManus for joining us, former Jags linebacker. Of course, the Jags tomorrow night pick number 17 in the first round. Friday night, picks number 48 and 96. Also, fourth round selections, number 114 and 116. They have the 153rd pick in round 5, round 6, and round 7, 212, 236, respectively. 0180, again, Balky's going to shock the world tomorrow night. He's going to trade up in a deal that involves Trevor Lawrence. You talk about being shocked. This would be beyond that for me. There's just no way. And here's what you got to ask yourself. And the fact that they've talked contract extension and all that, yeah, it feels like a great message, an enormous message has been sent that he's our guy, we want him. And sure, that could make it even more valuable as far as the return. But who is your return? you have faith in any one of these young quarterbacks? Again, we went through it yesterday. Okay, this draft is very similar tomorrow night to what happened in 2021. Right? Trevor, number one. Word's still out on him. I think it's going to work, but it's been a roller coaster. Number two pick, Zach Wilson, moved from the Jets to the Broncos this week. Number three pick, Trey Lance, moved from the 49ers to the Cowboys. The 11th pick, Justin Fields, Bears to the Steelers. Today, the Steelers announced they're not picking up his fifth-year option. And, of course, the 15th pick in the first round that year, Mac Jones, moved here to Jacksonville for a sixth-round pick. So right now, presently to date, four of the five are failures, even though there's been, you know, a tiny bit of success for Mac Jones, a tiny bit of success for Justin Fields, but both organizations who sold their soul, if you will, have moved on in 3 years. And here we are wondering about whether or not it's going to work for Trevor. Who's out there that you could get if you were to make a move, then get a quarterback? I mean, Kyler Murray in Arizona? Who else right now? Russell Wilson's already been moved. Who else out there can you – Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, honestly, what present quarterback is out there that you would be like, okay, yeah, let's see what we can do here? No, it would have to be one of the young guns. And again, with the young quarterbacks, history tells us that if five do go in the first round, or even six, if we include Nix and Penix, those two could end up going in the second round. We know the top four. History tells us that, you know, five of the six or four of the six are not going to make it. They're flat out going to be busts. So I don't see that. Appreciate your opinion. It's always good to get that in and to get some people doing things a little bit that way. 0981 says, yada, yada, yada. If Verse is there, you got to take him. Well, that would surprise me. I would draft an offensive lineman. Realistically, I think that's a waste of time because it's not going to happen. The way I see it, it's down the two positions tomorrow night. It's something we've been talking about for the last 6-7 weeks, or really ever since free agency. It feels like it's a corner or a wide receiver. So if they did go rush end, yeah, that would surprise me. If they went defensive tackle, that would be the third position. That'd be a little less surprising if they went interior defensive line. But yeah, right now, I feel as though they're going to draft a corner, or they are definitely going to draft a wide receiver. All right, let's hear it from Johnny O. Let's bring him in. He is the senior writer at Jaguars.com. He is our regular Wednesday guest at 7 o'clock. Let's get the very latest from Johnny O. That'll be on the other side. And then you can actually bet on the draft. And more and more and more people are doing it. I'd be really interested if you put serious coin into this. I mean, I guess no betting is fun betting outside of maybe if you, you know, do a pool, you know, the college basketball pool, or maybe if you just drop in a couple of dollars on an office pool. To me, the object of betting has always been to win. And I think the greatest gamblers that we have known, and I've talked to many about this, use the same price on every game. Others will disagree and say, no, no, no. You love a game. You max that out. You don't love a game. You put a little bit on that. Well, I've always been under the impression if you don't love a game, why would you bet? You should only, I mean, if there's 16 games on Sunday, you should realistically find maybe two or three that you really like. The guy who's betting on all 16 is a fool. The guy who's betting on all 16 is going to be a loser. Find two or three that you like. Bet on those. Okay, that takes some stamina. That takes some willpower. That takes the ability to say, no, I'm not going to play that game. With the props tomorrow night, though, maybe you could have a little bit of fun with it if that's your thing. I'm not going to bet on it. I haven't bet in 10 and a half years. I'm not going to do it, but many, many are. So we'll hear from Rafael Esparza as well. He'll come up in our second hour live from Las Vegas. Great to have you with us. JJ LaSalva is here. My name is Rick Ballew. It's great to have you on the official home of your Jacksonville Jaguar. such an important time of year for John Osher. Not only does he cover everything that is involved with the Jaguars, including the Jaguars draft, which of course begins tomorrow night, but he is also my go-to when it comes to the National Hockey League playoffs, which continue tonight. Great time of year for you, Johnny O.
Yeah, I confess that I am getting up to speed this week. I watched a little on Monday. I'll get more into it. Your Bruins, how are they? How's it going?
1-1. They lost game two at home, and they're getting ready to drop the puck right now in Toronto.
Okay, well, it takes me about a week. It takes me the first round to latch on, but as I've told you before, I love it. I think it's the most underrated sport around. I think too many people brush it off. I think it's a fantastic spring sport.
It is, and we won't get into it because we don't have time, but you and I have a totally different opinion on the overtime rule in the NFL after that Bills-Chiefs game. No one can argue that there's a better playoff than sudden death in the NHL.
Well, it's the only sport. My son and I talk about it all the time. He was sort of a Johnny-come-lately Lightning fan.
You know,
he likes them when they're good and follows it and knows it, you know, the whole thing. But is there another sport where you can feel like in overtime, in game seven, season on the line, that you've won the game? Oh no, a save, and 3 seconds later, your season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how the tension in that compared to football, maybe you get a pick six can qualify for that, but the suddenness of it. Maybe a knockout in boxing if you're in the 15th round, something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm reaching. The moment of the NHL when it's a game seven overtime, I mean, if I was a true fan of a team, I don't know how I'd get through it if my team was in.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is grueling. There's no question about it. All right, in other news, who are the Jaguars drafting tomorrow night?
I've been saying for a month and a half, 2 months, I think it's corner. I think it's whatever the best corner is that falls to him. You're sort of seeing Quinion Mitchell more and more because of all offensive guys being pushed up. I'll say Quinion Mitchell. You know, my real answer is Mitchell or Arnold.
Yep.
One of those two. I just feel like, you know, I get fans think they're trading up for a receiver. I would have no problem at all, and I would even prefer if they went one of the two lines because I just think that's how you build the team. But I think they need corner. I think that's going to be the sweet spot.
A week ago when we had a chance to talk with Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson, I came out of there thinking they're not trading way up to get a receiver, but they could trade up a couple of spots if the corner they love is there. Agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, it's my vibe completely. I you know, look, if they do shock me and go up to 9 and get a receiver, if he's a good player, if he's Julio Jones, you know, absolutely. But it feels to me like the price is going to be too high to jump 8 spots.
Yeah,
and you have a deep receiver draft, you know, and so I do think the trade-up scenario is, hey, we've decided we love Mitchell or Arnold or whoever it is, and we want to make sure we get him. But we're not – to me, Rick, giving away a second or third this year feels like too high a price considering I think they have some wants and needs that they want to get done in the first 2 days.
Yep. And you and I are agreeing way, way, way too much so far tonight because that's the way that I think. I know you put together these mock drafts and you've done it for years at Jaguars.com and you talk to these mockers, if you will, these NFL experts, analysts. I've asked them all this, the ones that I've had on the show. It feels a little bit like to me that corner goes ahead of receiver because it's deeper where you can find a wide receiver at 48 and you may not be able to get that corner at 48. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you might be able to get it. I think your percentages go up with receiver, meaning, you know, people you talk to that I respect, Bucky Brooks, Jeremiah, those guys, they talk about there being 17 or 18 receivers who, and into round four, that you feel good about can come in and be starters, you know. And if not starters, matter, right? Like, that's what is a receiver these days. Can you matter? Can you produce, you know, in the first couple of years? And at corner, there's that you can get to 48 and probably find it there, but it's more of a risk. And I just look at corner on the roster right now. The GMs want to be able to line up and play. You can line up and play at receiver. I don't know that you can line up and play with your three DBs right now. So, and obviously you can, they like Christian Braswell, they like Monteric Brown, but pedigrees, you know, do you feel great about, you know, your top three or four DBs? I think you need more than you have on the roster right now.
John Osher, our guest, senior writer, Jaguars.com. Make sure you get everything from John, including everything pre-draft. And of course, he will be a very busy man tomorrow. We'll have all the coverage for you as soon as I'm done tomorrow night at 8 o'clock right here on your home of the Jaguars. All right, would anything surprise you tomorrow night that the Jags do?
No, and that's easy to say because you've seen so many scenarios, and it's always tough this time of year. Hey, what would surprise you? Well, you've talked about so many possibilities that you feel like you've considered most of them. If they go at, like, edge rusher wouldn't surprise me. If Verse or the kid from UCLA are there, yeah, it makes sense. It, you know, offensive line, defensive line, considering how Balky feels about making this team stouter and tougher and, you know, more physical, if the right guy is there, could that push him off at number one? Sure, you know, or number 17? Absolutely. And I don't think it'd be a bad move, by the way. I'm to the point now, I said on a show today, Rick, I'm so crusty and old, and I've seen so many teams get beat because they can't hold up offensive defensive line.
Yeah.
That if this team wants to draft first round one of those two spots until I retire, unless you're going quarterback, I'm perfectly fine with just going line.
Yeah.
But I think they need the corner, so it's a long-winded way of saying it. 17 with this draft, there's a couple of linemen there, a couple of edge, a couple of offensive line that all make sense. But if I was, you know, if I'm playing percentages, to me the percentages make corner make sense.
Yeah. And, you know, the similarities between this and 2021 with the quarterbacks going early, and you look at these, I mean, you can actually bet on the draft now. There's like 20, 20 and a half offensive players going in the first round tomorrow night. So for every offensive player who goes, if it is a corner that Trent Baalke really wants, percentage-wise, again, it makes it that much better for them at number 17.
Yeah, and Bucky Brooks, who I really respect from the NFL Network, does a lot of stuff for us. And I've asked him a couple of times. You know, he doesn't think that it's a trend where it's going to be offense pushed up the board every year. There's a little bit of a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of think the way the league's going, you know, every year there's three quarterbacks in the top six now, and I'm exaggerating that, but it's so much more common than it used to be.
Yeah.
And every year, because of all the 7-on-7 camps and everybody wants to be a wide receiver, all kids want to play receiver. Every year is a good receiver draft now.
Yeah.
So I'm hard pressed to think that it's not going to be 12 or 13 out of the top 20 on offense every year, because that's the way the league plays. I mean, right now the Jags need a corner. It could benefit them. But overall, building your roster, I think most teams are going to take the approach, I want to outscore a guy, because that's what the league sort of wants.
Yeah, that's today's NFL. There's no question about it. Hey, final thought from you. I thought they looked really loose as I've ever seen him, even after their playoff run a year ago, particularly Trent Baalke. I don't want to go as far as to say that he was enjoying it, but, you know, it felt like they've put in the work and they know what they want to do.
Yeah, and I think you got to feel good about, you know, and I said earlier, they want to be able to line up. You could line up a corner right now. And GMs like to be able, when they go into the draft, they want to not feel like they have to take a certain spot. And, you know, if the right guy falls to them, they could wait and they could go with corner in the second round and feel okay coming out of the draft. So that's sort of what makes GMs feel good coming into a draft, is knowing that they don't have to reach. And I think even if they feel like they have to have corner, pretty good chance that the draft board is going to fall. They're in a sweet spot, meaning you got three corners with Wiggins and who we mentioned earlier. You're going to feel good about any of those guys. I think they're very confident that there's going to be a player that makes a lot of sense there. And then if they want to go up, obviously you'll feel good. If you go up and get a guy you want, you're going to feel great. So I don't think they feel like they're in a bad, I don't know that they feel like there's a bad pick to be made at 17.
Yeah. We will see. It is coming up in just about 24 hours. John Osher, ladies and gentlemen, SeniorRudderJaguars.com. Thank you, John. Talk to you soon.
All right, Rick, go black and gold.
Yeah, there they go. Just underway. Power play for the Bruins right now. No score. Two of the original six. You throw everything out that window. Boston and Toronto. Toronto snake bit. I didn't know they had. And you ready for this, JJ? Venomous snakes in Toronto. Not poisonous. Because I've said poisonous for 32 years, and everyone says, hey, Baloo, it's venomous. Venomous snakes. I didn't know they had them in Toronto. According to their snake bit, they haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967. Long time. Here's one. How about Trey Hendrickson?
I saw that. Asking for a trade.
Right. 29 years of age. Be 30 in December. Went to FAU.
I like him. He plays hard. He doesn't seem like the most athletic guy. But he gets... You get the most out of him. But I think he's supposed to make $15 million this year.
Talk about a light going on. 12 games as a rookie, 2 sacks. 5 games, must have been injured in 2018, no sacks. This is with the Saints. 13 games in 2019, 4.5 sacks, and then bam. Final year in New Orleans, 13.5 sacks. 3 years in Cincinnati, 14 sacks, 8 sacks. Last year, 17.5 sacks. And he's more than that. He's more than just a pin back the ears, go after the quarterback type of guy. So I do think we're going to have. I mean, Patrick Sertan has been mentioned. Kyler Murray has been mentioned. T. Higgins has been mentioned. Brandon Ayuk has been mentioned. I think there's a few other things that absolutely could take place. Matthew Judon. I've read some stuff out of New England with him. That he could be had. So, you know, that's depending on what you give up. The only thing that really, and JJ touched upon it, that the only thing that really hurts, depending on how you look at it. Now, in a lot of these cases, you know what you're getting. You're getting a very good football player. You may have to re-sign some of these guys, particularly the two wide receivers I just mentioned. But remember, let's say you're giving up a second or a third round pick or whatever it is, you're giving up a pick for a guy that's going to be under the rookie structured salary cap for the next 4 years, who's very cost affordable. You bring on these veterans, it's going to cost you way, way more. And I haven't looked at all the salary caps. I know where Jaguars are right now, according to overthecap.com. It has Jacksonville sitting at $31 million, which is just incredible. I've always said this about Trent Baalke. You can rewind the tape. I think he and his staff do a wonderful job with contracts. Now, you can critique his drafts. You can critique his free agent acquisitions. But I'm talking about contracts. I've always praised what he has done with his contracts, including when he went out and got Kirk and Zay and even ones who didn't work out, like Big Foley and Shaq and Rayshon and whatever it was, Olowokun, that it felt like after 2 years, that was your sticking point. You can get out of it with some dead money, or you're going to have to restructure. So my goodness, man, $31 million probably cost you $8 million, you know, $8 to $9 million for your rookie salary cap class, or your rookie class under the salary cap. And you still have an opportunity to create a lot more money if you were to restructure the two most obvious candidates, Christian Kirk and Cam Robinson. The other big one would be Zay Jones if they elected to cut Zay Jones post June 1st. Now, I think the only way that would happen, yeah, they draft one at 17, or, you know, they made a trade for one of those free agents. Right now it feels like Zay's going to be a part of it. But just to be crystal clear on this before the break, his cap figure right now is $10,752,000. The dead money right now is $6,569,000. It's the final days of April. So if you wait about, less than 40 days, and you get to June 1st, the same figures for Zay Jones with a cap figure of $10,752,000, all of a sudden the dead money is only $3 million bucks. And you're able to recoup $7.7 million while waiting less than 40 days. So if they were to cut him, it would be because they add beginning tomorrow night, and it just makes sense. And you would think they would take that money to give to Trevor, or maybe take that money to, I don't know, do a Tyson Campbell deal or whatever else actually could happen. All right, good time for you to get on in. 641-1010 if you'd like to join us on the text line. Getting a ton in tonight. It is brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. You can always get me on Twitter and or X. That is Baloo1010XL.
Let's go into the night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, busy night as well. NHL and the NBA playoffs both underway, including no score right now. Boston and Toronto, game three of that series. It has shifted back to Montreal. Coming up in a little bit, the Golden Knights at the Dallas Stars and the Kings and the Oilers tonight in the National Hockey League. NBA coming up tonight. As a matter of fact, underway. Boston up, they were up 14-12. It's now 15-14. Miami in the first quarter. 5 minutes to go there. Pelicans and Thunder tonight at 9:30. So playoffs on ice and on the hardwood. All right, JJ, what do you got for us? We'll give away.
Yes, AEW tickets once again. So this is for this Saturday show. A pair of tickets to AEW Collision and Rampage. December 27th at Daly's Place.
And I've got a question tonight for the ages. I do. We're going to go way back into Jaguars lore. Actually, we're not, but we're going to test your memory anyway. Okay. Trevor Lawrence, last quarterback selected by the Jaguars, top pick of the 2021 NFL draft. Who was the last quarterback selected by the Jaguars before Trevor Lawrence? Last quarterback selected before Trevor Lawrence. 641-1010. You get that answer right, you're going. And you just heard from JJ. He will tell us who that winner is. Again, the best way to get on in is just give us a phone call, 641-1010. And you can use that same number to give us the very latest on our text line, which is brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. 0427 says, yada, yada, yeah, here. Yeah, we need big linemen. I'm so proud of you, 0427. I mean, I really am. It makes sense. And I get it that, you know, the excitement value of a lineman at, you know, in the first round of the NFL draft, it's not going to do it for you, right? I mean, has there been any excitement around here with an offensive lineman dating back to Boselli? I'm trying to remember the reaction of Luke Jokel. I remember the reaction of Tyson Alualu because you wanted Tebow. But it just doesn't feel like an offensive or a defensive lineman. Yeah, sure, rush edges, okay. You know, I mean, we could bring up Dante Fowler and bring up Josh Allen and bring up Derek Harvey and all those type of players. But, yeah, you generate a little bit of it there. Even Kalyvon Chaisson 4 years ago. 7225. I trade number 17 for Patrick Surtain. It's a great question. It's a phenomenal question, okay? His fifth-year option just got picked up, very similar to Jamar Chase, who was picked up today by Cincinnati. So you're getting a guy who's getting ready for a major contract extension. I just said the Jags have more than $30 million. I like this if they had trepidation about Tyson Campbell and whether or not they truly believe he is going to be a guy that they can rely upon for the next 4 or 5 seasons. I'm including this year with that. Because that becomes that much more expensive to get a guy like Surtain. Again, the difference between bringing in Surtain now, paying him what he wants as far as a contract extension, you're going way over $100 million, okay, where you could get a rookie first-rounder with the 17th pick and have him in for at least 4 years with a possibility of a fifth year, the same thing that's being used now for Surtain. I wonder how they grade him out. I do. I would not hate that. I wouldn't, because what you're getting is a guy who's proven. Granted, I don't even want to say he's that much older. He's somewhat older, not that much. I'll look up Surtain. What is he now, 25, maybe 26? Okay, but the difference there is you're talking about a football player that is going to cost your team that much more money. So I guess the long answer to that question would be, all right, sure, yeah, I'd do it if you did understand that, you know, in a year, it's not going to work out around here with Tyson Campbell. And we don't know if it's going to work out around here with Tyson Campbell. We just don't. I mean, it's like and you noticed how like the 3 has now gone to 2. You know, last year this time, well, you got to re-sign Andre Sisco. You got to re-sign Tyson Campbell. You got to re-sign Walker. Well, the little thing's gone. They've screwed that one up. Now it's like, yeah, Sisco, yeah, makes plays. But, you know, is he truly one of the great safeties? Is he truly one of the best safeties in the game? Patrick Surtain is 24, for crying out loud. He's 24. I mean, when Devin Lloyd and I said it earlier in the show, when Devin Lloyd got here and Luke Fortner got here, they were 24-year-old rookies. You're talking about a 3-year guy who's never missed a game. Okay? 7 picks. I don't have his Pro Football Focus numbers here, but obviously a, you know, 9th pick overall in the 2021 draft, 6'2", 202. Love the question. I would absolutely consider that. And they may be thinking now, well, hopefully, you know, Arnold will fall or hopefully, you know, whoever it may be, if it's Quinyon Mitchell will fall. And one of the beliefs there is, again, instead of paying him all this cash, you can get him on the cheap. We're getting a ton on the text line as far as the quarterback. Did you get a call on it yet?
We did. Congrats, James.
James, and his answer.
Jake Luton.
Jake? Where were you, Jake? Because you're such a young guy. Where were you when Jake Luton was selected?
Oh, my God.
6th round of the 2020 draft, pick number 189.
I was sitting on my ass somewhere.
Those are almost Tom Brady numbers. Wasn't Brady 199?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking at this.
Their careers didn't end up similarly.
Jaguars PR does a great job every year with this draft release. I think I might have been complaining to JJ about it off the air. I remember back in the days where it was printed and available for us. But everything today is going to be on your phone. around your computer. We don't want to waste paper, JJ. You know,
gotta
that?
Save the environment.
I know, but I'm like old school in the fact that I every once in a while I like something printed. You know, you do such a great job, and I just love literature. I love it right here in front of me. You can look at it. I save it. I have last year's copy. But quarterbacks, nothing last year, nothing in 2022. Of course, Trevor, top pick in 2021. You go back to 2020, Jake Luton, sixth round. 2019, Gardner Minshew, sixth round. 2018, Tanner Lee, sixth round. 2016, Brandon Allen, sixth round. And then back to Blake Bortles, top pick in 2014. There you go. Last 10 years. Quarterback selecting. Congratulations. Dynasty, let's get one more here before the break. 53-48. Blue, would you be surprised if the NFL announces between the Jaguars to trade a Cam Robinson for Ayuk or Higgins, setting the second with Cam and still holding our 17? You're giving up a huge salary in Cam. That means it's Walker Little, which I'm okay with. I don't know if they're okay with it. I'm okay with it. And, you know, I've always said this. Cam Robinson's making $21,909,000, right? Walker Little is making $2,425,000. That's a $19,000 difference. That is a $19 million difference. Your eye test. Is there a $19 million difference between Cam Robinson and Walker Little? Now, this is Monopoly money. It's not your money. It's not my money. The idea is to put the best team on the field that you can. But it's interesting how you can ask questions differently. A $19 million difference between Cam and Walker Little? Just the way they've treated Walker Little in his career, I can basically tell you right now that there's no chance of that happening. Matter of fact, I think there's a – I wouldn't be shocked if they traded Walker Little for a bag of balls. Seriously. If they somehow drafted another tackle pretty early. The IU Higgins deal – well, I don't think Cincinnati's going to let Higgins go, man. They picked up the option of Chase. We just talked to you about the situation with Hendricks now wanting to get moved. I don't know what they're going to do when it's all said and done with T. Higgins. I might have said Hendricks. Hendrickson, the end for Cincinnati. Great teams have a lot of problems trying to find ways to pay all your quarterbacks. Let me take a break, okay? I'm getting really excited here. But this is another reason why you don't have to pay Trevor right now. You don't have to do it. You can get better. You can make a move. You can bring in a highly priced position player. You can do it if you really want to. Make Trevor play this year at $11.7 million. Pick up his fifth-year option before May 2nd. While you're at it, pick up the option for Travis Etienne. It's only going to cost you $6.1 million. Pick him up. I try to do something like that. But, you know, the vibe is that that's not going to be the case. And they're going to get this deal done sooner as opposed to later. All right, we got our final thoughts coming up here on the other side. That's going to include our good friend Rafael Esparza with MyBookie, MyBookie.org.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Offs continue on ice. Oh, they're fighting right now, Toronto and Boston. A face full of glove. These foreign rules, that's what they like to do, give you the glove to the face. Not like the good old days when they drop them and throw. I thought we were going to get that, too, with Reeves and Patty Maroon skating, you know, trying to take the red line before game one, create a little bit of dominance during warm-ups. Historically, it's always been a thing on ice. Let's bring in our good buddy Rafael Esparza, who's a big hockey guy, as well as on the courts with the NBA. And, of course, tomorrow night is the NFL draft. And he's with MyBookie, MyBookie.org. You got yourself a special assignment tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm covering it on a betting point of view for the NFC South. So it should be very interesting. I just can't wait for it to be over. This is one of the worst things I hate covering. It's the most overrated spectacle when it comes to – there's more flops than our success when it comes to the NFL draft, but we still force-feed this 365 days a year.
Do you know how many people right here in Duval and all across the country are convinced that they're going to the Super Bowl after tomorrow night?
Oh, everyone's going to the Super Bowl. The Bears are going to the Super Bowl. After they pick Caleb Williams, I'm more excited what nail polish he's going to wear. Black plus 150, orange 2-1, white 5-1. So I'm more interested in that kind of stuff.
I hate to put you on the spot, but I will. Do you remember 20 years ago, how did you handle, because I don't even know if we, I mean, did you even bet on the NFL draft 20 years ago? And if so,
no.
How did you handle the Eli Manning, Philip Rivers deal?
I know Vegas didn't cover 20 years ago. I don't know about, my bookie wasn't around 20 years ago.
No.
Yeah, I don't know if they did. I know Vegas didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a great research project. So thank you. When I'm watching the boring NFL draft today, tomorrow, covering it,
right,
I'm going to be researching that for you for next Thursday show.
Right, because I know a few pool halls here in town had it, yeah, but this is Duval, and we're ahead of times. Going back to, of course, Manning and Rivers 20 years ago. All right, so what is the biggest play? What are most people going to? And I'm going to ask what I think is possibly a stupid question, but is this like Super Bowl props? Were they real serious with money to earn? Or is this kind of a tongue-in-cheek, we'll just put, you know, a little bit of money on it and see if we can get something to ring?
The sports books, including myself as odds makers, we treat this as NFL Customer Appreciation Day. The sports books never win on the NFL draft. We're just giving free money. That's why the limits are so low.
Okay.
Some of these prop bets are only $100, $200. I've never seen anything higher than a $500 bet when it comes to NFL draft. So we treat this like, here you guys go. Here's your free money. We'll get that money back on preseason NFL and regular season NFL.
All right, have you seen anything that, you know, you're looking at and you're kind of like, you know, why? Why would you even consider that risk to reward? I mean, maybe it's 12-1 or 15-1. Caleb Williams, for instance, I don't know, just things that looked so bizarre that why would you risk it just to bring a little bit back into your pocket?
Total quarterbacks drafted in the first round, over, under 4.5. 4.5 is like minus $3, 320. That's still low. This one should be minus $5. I think there's value. I think 5 quarterbacks can go tomorrow in the first round. We can maybe even see 6 if Bo Nix sneaks into round one. So I know it's a little juicy and over at minus 320 around there. DraftKings, I think, had it minus 323. I think my bookie had it at 314 last time I checked. But I still think there's good value because it should be $5 or higher.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I was mentioning it with JJ the other night. It just feels like it is because it's always the need that fifth quarterback is going to go. Heck, here in Duval, we're hoping that fifth quarterback goes before the Jaguars select at number 17. Do you do anything on amount of trades tomorrow night, first-round trades that will take place?
Yeah, we did a couple of them. I think I'm trying to pull it up right now. First-round over-under trades is 5.5. The over is minus 150.
Mm.
The under is plus 110. I will bet the under just because, again, the NFL draft is so hyped. So hyped. It's the greatest spectacle on TV. All stations are closed tomorrow. There's nothing else but an NFL draft. And it'll be a complete dud.
Yeah.
No trade. Everyone's mock draft will be obsolete. Give me the under at 5.5 plus 110. Top many trades in the top 10 is over under 2.5.
How did you guys do at the window with Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney?
I just got out of my swimming pool full of coins. Because we cleaned up on that one because everyone went Haney by knockout, Haney by decision. I have never seen a fight like that. I have never seen an interview after the fight where one fighter had three different people presenting himself. I've never seen that. I mean, I think there's something. I don't want to say mentally wrong or something like that, but he's, I feel bad for the guy because I don't believe that he was faking some of this stuff. Watch the interview after the fight.
Yeah.
It was three persons and one body talking after the fight.
All right, get us caught up on the very latest, and that includes certainly the NBA and the NHL playoffs. Very busy time of year for you.
Yeah, I'm shocked that you picked up on this one because I was watching that Boston-Toronto fight. But yeah, we have the NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. Who would have thought we'd be more overs cashed in the NHL playoffs than over tickets in the NBA playoffs? NBA playoffs been all under games. We got baseball. We got UFC back into action. But let's face it, it's all about the best spectacle on TV ever invented. The NFL draft starts tomorrow. You get to watch it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Can't wait to watch it. Can't wait to observe it. But it should be a very fun weekend.
You need to call in sick tomorrow night. Just take the night off. Come up with something.
I already cashed a check. I can't.
Ah, get paid before. Wow. I got to get in your line of business. Hey, Raphael, always a pleasure. Thank you, man. We'll pick it up again next week.
Take it easy. Have a great rest of the week.
There he goes. Raphael Esparza drew the NFC South from a betting perspective. And apparently he's not thrilled about it. Yeah, it's going to be a long night for the local media, for those who will be over there covering it. I'm not going to be over there tomorrow night. I've done a ton of them. I'm not going to be at this one. If this, you know, the years they had the top pick, I was over there, right? There were many other years. I can go back to the days when it started on Saturday. For what it's worth, I kind of miss those days. I miss the draft weekend. What was it? First three rounds on Saturday, last four rounds on Sunday. And, you know, it's like everything else. There's change this year in Detroit, and we'll get the first round tomorrow night. Second and third round coming up on Friday night. Now you stretch it out, and the NFL's so smart when it comes to stuff like that to be able to, get what you want and that much more attention. Within the National Football League draft. But let me tell you something. We're going to have fun tomorrow night. JJ and I have already set it up. We got some want to really get you involved with tomorrow night's show. So it's going to include with something we put out on social media, including Twitter. It's going to be a big part of how we get things rolling tomorrow night. It's not necessarily going to be, all right, with the 17th pick and with the 48th pick. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit. But we're going to provide for you a couple of different scenarios, okay, which we're still working on right now. We never stop working. And we are going to work throughout the latter part of the night and the early part of the morning and create this where there are going to be four different scenarios that you as a Jaguar fan, you're going to have to pick, or not have to pick, but you can pick one. And what would the best case be for the Jaguars if you were Trent Baalke and you were the general manager and you were making the selection? And we're going to do that coming up tomorrow night. So already getting excited about that. That'll be 6 to 8, and we'll take you right up until when Roger Goodell will say, welcome to the NFL draft. And then he'll come back like 2 minutes later and say, the 2024 NFL draft is open.
And then it'll be another 20 minutes until the Bears make the pick, even though they've known who they're going to take for 6 months.
It's the greatest thing about the draft.
We'll have at least one commercial break before the first pick. So I had to grab some sound for Frank's show a couple days ago, and like for some reason I was on YouTube looking at the 89 draft, and they had it. The entire first round, that is, on YouTube. And you would be shocked how different it was.
Like, oh, yeah.
They knew they were going to take Aikman, so they made the pick in like 2 minutes less. It was just like right away.
That was Deion's draft.
Why can't we do that?
That was Barry Sanders and Deion Sanders' draft, right?
Oh, the first top five were like all Hall of Famers except for the O-lineman the Jets took. What's his name?
Don't remember.
Huge bust.
Okay. But, yeah, I because I was a sophomore or a junior at Florida State. Remember
Mandarich.
Exactly. Oh, Tony Mandarich.
Yeah,
actually,
so it was Aikman, Mandarich, Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas, and then Deion Sanders. Wow.
Tony Mandarich in 87 in Michigan State actually came to Florida State, he couldn't play. He was suspended. He was sitting in the stands, but Andre Rison was going up against. Did you mention him in that draft class, Andre Rison? If so,
yeah, he was 22 to the Colts.
He went one-on-one against Deion over at Doak Campbell in the fall of 1987. I remember that like it was, well, honestly, the fall of 1987. Because I was in like the 88th row. But anyway, it was a good time. Hey, it's always a good time to talk with you. And we're going to do it again tomorrow night. Thank you to Tom McManus. Thank you to John Osher. Thank you to Rafael Esparza. Hacker Nation's coming up next. Again, tomorrow night, it's on. And we are absolutely going to be here for it. Get you caught up with everything. There'll be a lot of rumors as well. Absolutely, that'll be the case. Leading up to the NFL draft on Wednesday. So we'll talk to you from 6 to 8. JJ LaSalva, I'm Rick Ballew. Folks, have a great night.